Well, as we stand in the lavish love of God's grace again this morning, we have the privilege of opening His Word together every Sunday. Every Sunday, by God's grace, we're called to worship, and chief in that calling is the opportunity to sit under the preaching of God's Word, because we believe that God's Word is just as the psalmist says it is. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and He knows we need that. And to that end, I invite you to open a Bible with me to Psalm 115. This morning we begin a summer series in the Psalms. We've done this the last few summers, and Lord willing, we'll be able to accomplish that again this summer as we look together at some of the Psalms. Before we open God's Word, though, I invite you to join me for a prayer. Let's pray together. God in heaven, the joy that we have is found in the lifting of the curse and the ransom that has been paid in Jesus. And now as we tune our hearts, O God, not only just to sing your praise, but to hear your word and have it fixed upon our hearts, we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, as we come here to saturate ourselves in this word, that it would fill us and shape us and change, transform our walk with you in the days to come. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Again, Psalm 115. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. A psalmist who writes about worship. And that's what we'll look at together this morning. Listen to God's Word. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak. Eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear. Noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. Feet, but they cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is your help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. It is not the dead who praise the Lord. Those who go down to silence, it is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. It's God's word for us this morning. You may be seated once again. My hope this morning was to stand in front of you with something in my hand to show you, but I couldn't find it in my house. That may say something about my basement. But I was looking for what I have a picture of here on the screen this morning, and that is a compass. Now that I couldn't find it is a bit ironic, seeing as that's what compasses help you do. That's not lost on me this morning. But here's a compass, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. In fact, let me tell you first a little story. When I was a kid, I loved being a cadet. Now, some of you know what a cadet is in the Christian Reformed Church and in a lot of other churches. Cadets is a ministry for young boys who are discipled by cadet leaders to learn what it means to walk with Jesus and to build a fire. And to learn to walk with Jesus and how to tie knots and wield an axe. And you can tell the kind of parts that I tended to lean toward. But this was a great ministry. And one time, this happens at least where I grew up, the churches in all the area and all the cadet groups would get together for a little friendly competition. Sort of if you've, from this area, we have a snow derby every year. But it snows all the time in Canada, so that's every day for us. No, I'm just kidding. It was a little competition, and part of the competition was a skill test with a compass. I was 10 years old. And the competition was pretty simple. You were against all the other groups. They gave you several coordinates, and your task was within a certain amount of time to take this compass, similar to the one on the picture here, to take this compass and to navigate the course, to find all the clues, and to get back as soon as you possibly can. We failed miserably. We failed miserably at this competition, at least that part of it. I mean, with all the confidence of a 10-year-old, I thought to myself, I still remember this clearly, I'd never held a compass in my life, and I thought to myself, we can do this. Not a problem. And we failed utterly because we were wrong about how to handle that compass. I don't remember how we did overall. I'm pretty sure we didn't place in the top 10. There were about 15 churches representatives. But so why share some of this from my past? Well, part of it is just to make myself go, whew, got that off my chest. Clearly, I remember it from 38 years ago. But this morning, as we look at Psalm 115, I thought of how we all have a built-in compass. And I want to call it a glory compass. I believe it's something God has set within us, just as He has set eternity within every human heart. And if we know the biblical story, we know that we were created by God so that our glory compass would always point to Him. Not because He needs it to somehow fulfill an ego or anything like that, but because, quite frankly, He alone is worthy of our glory. Now, if you also know the biblical story, you know that ever since we fell into sin, it's not in our sinful human nature to align ourselves with God's purpose, and that impacts the glory compass as well. Our glory compass doesn't work the way it ought. Because every day, in light of sin, every day we choose to glory in things other than God. In fact, we tend to glory in ourselves. We glory in our accomplishments. We glory in our personal beauty. We glory in our bank account. We glory in our genealogy. And as we've seen in the last generation, there's been a lot of glory wrapped up in sexuality. So our glory compass, here's the good news, the glory compass still works. We should be thankful for that. The bad news is we're glory seekers or we are glory hoarders. And into that sort of God-shaped hole of our wayward heart, God sets these words of Psalm 115 into the worshiping community of God's people. Now, I believe the opening phrase is both a prayer and a praise, and those don't compete with each other. Both are important. The psalmist says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name, so there's that glory compass, to your name be the glory. Because of your love and your faithfulness. Again, everyone has a glory compass. Now, I look at these words, and I believe they're both part prayer and part praise. And let's look at the prayer one first. This is the prayer of the hearts of those who know, especially in Christ, how God is worthy of our glory, of His glory, right? That He deserves. You find often in the New Testament when Paul would come to the end of his letter or even as Apostle John or the Epistle, they would end with this phrase. And you certainly find this even in the book of Revelation. To Him be all glory. All of it. And so this becomes the prayer of God's people. To you, not to us, O God. And Jesus effectively and essentially carries this forward when He says in Matthew 5, do your good works before others so that they may glorify the Father in heaven. See, that becomes the posture of prayer. There's application for this all over the place, but as you and I leave this place this morning and go back to wherever God calls us in our homes and our work and our relationships, I pray that this becomes our prayer. Not to us, O God, not to us. God, may you get all the glory through all that I do in the week ahead. But as I said, I think this is both a prayer and a praise because factually, it's true. the glory does belong to God. The psalmist says, because of your love and faithfulness. Praise, because by faith we see that our glory compass must be pointed to the true north, who is God. It must be, because there's nobody more worthy. Nothing in all of creation. In 2 weeks, we're going to look together specifically at this when we look at Psalm 136, which is a beautiful chorus of worship in which the psalmist says something and the people respond, "His love endures forever." And in that echo and response, a call and response, just repeated over and over, the psalmist is picking up on that. Yet, even here in Psalm 115, God wants us to know this clearly, that yes, make it a prayer of your hearts, make it the prayer of your walk with Jesus, make it the prayer of what you long to see accomplished in your life, but recognize the praise of it. God alone, there's just nobody like Him, none who compare. The psalmist begins saying, "Not to us, O Lord." But do you know how hard that is? Do you know how much we have to fight against that? Because there are times when our hearts don't get this right. But what happens? What happens when and if our glory compass gets misdirected? What happens, as the psalmist continues, when the nations, in other words, those who don't know God and do not give Him the glory, and they look at the people and say, "Where is your God?" And then we start believing it. See, that's how the glory compass gets misdirected, right? We forget. We start wondering, well, where is God? I built this house. I built this business. I'm raising my kids. I'm a part. See how the I word starts infiltrating all of the mentality there, and the nation's words start sounding too familiar. So what the psalmist does in verses 2 to 8, and if you have a Bible open, you can see it there as well. You see in verses 2 to 8, the psalmist captures a very basic and yet profound truth about us, and that is this. If we will not give God the glory, we will give it somewhere else. If we will not give God the glory, we will give it somewhere else. And the psalmist goes and describes what that something else can be. But let me share something with you first. About 15 years ago, there was a writer and author by the name of David Foster Wallace. He was an agnostic, but one day he gave a commencement address, and this was back in 2005. And again, he's an agnostic. He doesn't believe, really, but he believes it to be true, nonetheless, what he says. And this is what he said. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. Isn't that profound? Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what we worship. And David Wallace goes on to say that a good reason, remember, he's an agnostic, but he says a good reason for worshiping God is because pretty much everything else you worship will eat you alive. Those were his words. Pretty much everything else you worship will eat you alive. And I read that and I think what he means is that everything else you worship will never satisfy. So you're constantly pursuing it, but there is no contentment. And therefore it eats you alive. So to put this in the framework of Psalm 115, we all have a glory compass, but what gets the glory? And in verses 2 to 8, the psalmist says, well, let me tell you about the things of this world. And it's a devastating critique. Essentially, he says, because they are shaped with noses and ears, and a nose and ears and eyes and feet, and I mean, but they're useless. What he's saying is that those things are neither glorious nor worthy of glory. They are neither glorious nor worthy of glory. And as he looks at this with us, what God says through his word here is, again, the psalmist says, hey, let me tell you about the God who is worthy. He can do whatever he pleases. But these idols, pick them. Pick one that you know your heart's a little too attached to. And the devastating critique is that that idol can do nothing for you. It is useless. But even harder than that is knowing that the psalmist says that those who worship them are like them. We become as useless. The question that sort of circles around all of this is, then who will we put our trust in? This becomes the question of, in what or in whom will we put our trust? Not to us, the psalmist prays, and the praise. Not to us, O God, because you've just shown us in verses 2 to 8 the devastating critique of those things that we think are worthy and they're not. But he says, trust in the Lord. He says to Israel, he says to Aaron, he says to all who fear God, fear him, trust him. Fear him, trust him. Why should all the glory, why should all the glory go to the Lord? And three times in that section. And anytime something's repeated in Scripture, boy, our ears ought to just perk up a little bit. Three times the psalmist says, because unlike everything else, God is your help and shield. God is the help and the shield of your life. He deserves the glory for who he is and what he does for those who seek him. Really, it's a study in contrast. It's a study in contrast. Idols, as we seen in that earlier section, idols, they got nothing. They've got nothing to offer us ultimately. We can glorify them, whether we glorify our work or our wit or our investments or our intellect. But in the end, they fail us because they were never designed to hold the weight of that glory. But to those who fear God, the psalmist says, to those who trust in the Lord, to those whose glory is in God, you do it because you know by faith that he is your help and he is your shield. Essentially, God helps those who hope in him. You probably heard that terrible misuse of Scripture that says God helps those who help themselves. That is just a farce of every kind. But God helps those who put their hope or their trust in them. He blesses those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. When our glory compass is directed to the one who deserves the glory, God pours out his blessing. But will we trust him? Will we trust him to be faithful and true? Now in this passage it says, may the Lord make you increase. And now some take that to be a very worldly way of looking at things. Well, then he'll bless you with financial stability or marital stability or work stability and stuff. And I don't believe those are excluded per se, but I believe in the context of Psalm 115, the increase that God wants to give you as you trust in him is a better pointing of your glory compass. It will increase as you recognize him alone as worthy of your glory. More and more your glory compass gets set to the true north of who God created you to be. That's the increase. I think that's the chief blessing that God gives his worshipers. I take that again, that to be the increase of giving glory. Partly I say this having talked with senior saints who are in their 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, and they tell me the story of worship and how the worship was the constant. And as they trusted in God more and more, their worship just increased. And it grew. And I think that's an answer to what God says he'll bless his people with. He'll give them a greater understanding of how their glory compass can be directed to him and why it's worth it. Because he is their help and he is their shield. That's what happens. That's the blessing. I believe that's the blessing. And nowhere better do we see that, of course, than when we look at Jesus. Think of the description of verses 2 to 8 in which the psalmist talks about the eyes and the ears and the nose and the mouth and the hands and the feet. And then think about the incarnation of Jesus. The God who came and put on flesh. The God who moved toward us in Christ. And in his incarnation, and he had a mouth and ear, eyes and ears and a nose, and he had hands and a feet, and all of him was directed to the glory of the Father. And then that becomes the pattern by what it means to follow Jesus. That it is for the glory of the Father, and that in the cross of Christ we get to see that we don't have to be glory hoarders. In Jesus, we have seen the one who is full of grace and truth. We've seen him, the glory of the one and the only. And we don't have to be glory hoarders. We can be those who give the glory to the one who blesses us with a love beyond what we deserve, a steadfast love. And gradually, by grace, through that sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, our glory compass finds its true north. Listen to how Psalm 115 ends. Who are those who give glory to God? It's not the dead. It's not the dead, but the living, says the psalmist. Who are those who know that our glory compass can't be directed at anything less than the one who alone is worthy? It's not the dead. It's the living. It's those who know what we talked about earlier, that We were created for the glory of God. It's those who know that our very breath is an act of worship to the glory of our Creator. Every breath, every thought, every action, every word, every deed, all of it. But on this side of Easter, we also know that in the cross of Jesus Christ, those who are born again or born from above, those who are made alive when we were dead in our sin and trespasses, it's we. It's not the dead. It's we who are alive in Jesus. It's not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence, says the psalmist. It's we. Who are we? It's God's redeemed. It's those who are in Christ. We extol the Lord, both now and forevermore, praise the Lord. We do it. And we need to do it. Remember the prayer and the praise? Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to you. To your name be the glory. That's what we pray for. That's the praise we need to live in. With all our inmost being, to God be the glory. What the dead cannot do, those who are alive in Christ must do. We must do it because of God's love and faithfulness, which has been revealed to us in his Son, Jesus. We're going to sing these words in a moment. And as I was preparing the service for this morning a couple weeks ago, thinking about song of response, doesn't always happen this easily, but I tell you, within seconds, I thought, this is the song we need to sing. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Be thou my vision. Here's the invitation this morning. To every heart and life that belongs to Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit has a sense, has that deep sense in us that we were created for something far better than glory hoarding. In that truth, let's carry these words with us again this week. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. And then the very closing words of the psalm, now and forevermore. Let's carry that with us this week. Because as we get this right, and I know hymns come to mind, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I know that in me. But as we get this better, God's blessings come forth. And it increases. And we get to see more and more of the glory of God every day in the midst of whatever realities around us. But that's the prayer and the praise. Not to us, O God, not to us, but to you. Even though by nature I'm a glory hoarder, help me, O God, to direct my glory to the only one who is worthy. And if I've been made alive in Jesus Christ, and if you've been made alive, and we have seen the glory of the one and only, may our life embrace this. May we embrace the true north of our worship, the true north of glory, because we trust in the one who is our help and the one who all the more in Jesus is our shield, and he will not lose what the Father has given to him. And then finally, this goal. Pray that it'll just increase. Help it to increase, O God, that God will increase in us this longing to glorify God in every way and in everything. Just think about the projects you've got planned this week, or possibly the relationships that you're going to encounter and speak into, or maybe even in the quiet moments of each day. Think about how God in this moment, not to me, not to us, but to you be the glory, now and forevermore in my life, because of Christ. Because this is not the task of the dead, right? This is the call of the living, for those who've been made alive in Christ. Not to us. Not to us, O God, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Let's pray together. God in heaven, we come to worship because you alone are worthy. We also come because we know that our hearts need to be reoriented again. We need to be tuned to sing your praise, to make the days to come not about us, O God, but about you and the glory that's worthy of your name. Speak, O Holy Spirit, in us again, that we might find the joy of this in each day. To God be the glory, to God be the glory. Be thou my vision, O Lord, my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.